Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations, episode 161. Today I'm interviewing my friend Abby Vasquez, tarot reader extraordinaire. We talked so long I had to split it up. So here we go. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a channel, so I bring forward your guides so you can connect more easily with them, allowing you to have soul-deep conversations with them whenever you want. I'm an energy healer, a past life explorer, a mentor. My goal is to empower you by teaching you techniques that you can use on your own. We work together to find and identify the blockages to your growth and release them, inviting you to explore your possibilities. I'm available for phone and virtual sessions, and with Washington State opening up, I will be at some of these in-person events. The best way to contact me is through Susie@BlueLightningHealing.com. You can also contact me through my website, BlueLightningHealing.com. There, you'll find links in a fully searchable database of my podcasts, a link for my Ko-fi.com account to support me in my efforts, and a full calendar of events so that you know where I'll be online and in person. Oh yeah, and the appointment scheduler, that's there too. Thanks so much. Blessings. So, yeah, you ready?
Why not?
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins, and today I keep saying immense pleasure, but I really do have a thrill to have my friend and colleague, and I honestly love being able to say that. I love having my friend and colleague, Abby Vasquez, on. Do you want Abigail or Abby?
Abby. Well, everybody calls me Abby. My business name is Abigail, so it's like the full name versus the nickname, so... If you know me, it's Abby. If you don't know me, Abby will work in the beginning and then we'll become Abby's.
So okay. Because Abigail would be that you're in trouble name.
Oh my God. Yes.
And that's a Southern thing. I know. No, I'm sure it's something for everybody. To everybody. Yeah. I knew I was in trouble.
Mm-mm. Yes. That's the government name. And that's the name that mama calls you when you've done that. So.
That's right. And my kids have four names. They have two middle names. And I never rolled that out because they would have been out of the neighborhood by the time I finished.
Like, we done did something. We need to run.
We need to go now. You ready to start a new life, y'all? Okay, here we go. But Abby, I know her from Rabbit's Pantry. A moment of silence. Thank you. And she was there as a tarot reader, and I've had the honor to have a reading from her, and I love the way you read because you dive real deeply, but it is so accessible.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you read,
it's not like you read me up and down, but you kind of did, but you did it in such a way that I enjoyed going there.
Oh. Good. Well, that to me is all that matters then, because it doesn't matter what message I provide. If it's not received or accessible or audible or legible, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how profound the session is. If it doesn't make sense to you, if you don't understand it, then the message is lost. So yeah. It's like, I'm glad that you were able to get something from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, whether I followed up on it, that's another thing. That's me being...
You know, that's not my job.
No.
Pass the message along. You'll follow through between you and your spirit team. So.
And they'll hit me with that clue by four whenever I need it. They have no qualms about that.
At all.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So tell me what you do. Well, let's introduce yourself to our listening audience, if you would please, Abby.
I love how delicate that was. So my name is Abby. I consider myself these days a little bit more of a psychic tarot medium. And I put it in that kind of context because my intuition has grown since the last time you and I have read together. So I kind of can't wait to actually work for you again or work with you again. So my skill set has evolved. I do consider myself a bit more clairvoyant, clairsentient, cognizant, you know, all of them, except I don't have the Gustin's one. I don't smell stuff, at least not yet.
Or the tasting one. Yet. I've heard about tasting and smelling. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
I have not had those experiences yet. And I use tarot as my primary tool to kind of help me access those skill sets or those little informations as they come in. And so my clients might see me with the deck of cards in hand, and I'll be shuffling them, and I'll be getting information as I'm shuffling. Ooh. So often I'm answering the questions that are being asked of me in the shuffling process, not so much in the pulling of the card. Now, if for some reason I'm getting information, but it's not super clear or it's not making sense, like my brain isn't firing on it, then I'll draw a card or I'll wait for a card to flip over. And that will give me the key. That will give me like the, there's my running start. Now I can run with it. And that usually gives me exactly what I need to get going. So even though I consider myself like a tarot person, I sometimes struggle to pull tarot cards in the middle of my client reads. And I'm like, wait, I said I was going to pull cards for you. So let's do it. And I'll pull some cards. Usually after we've talked to their grandmother, after we cried twice, after we've solved world hunger, after we've done all these things. And then I pull like, oh, yay, Three of Pentacles, something about work, you know. And then you're like, no, it's okay. Then you're fine. But it's just like an evolution of my skill set. I'm still tarot obsessed. So I love my cards. I have 6 different sets of cards on my desk. I have 200 and some in my inventory in the house. I still love tarot. I still love this stuff. But it's it's just this, it's the tool. It's the tool process.
Oh, what happened? Well, I'm going to pause this then.
Now you have 2.
God.
It's all good. We still love you.
Yeah, we do. This is what you get when I'm the engineer too. Oh, well.
Yeah, it happens.
So, you do tarot readings. I met you at an in-person event where you did, and you gave me an idea for a good meditation too. Breaking the yardstick was the theme of it.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and that's what got me started. I think that's one of my earliest episodes on YouTube.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was cool. I kind of thought it out. So, thank you. So not only do you read cards, but you also have an Etsy shop.
Yeah. So the first baby is the Etsy shop where I sell used and new tarot cards. I will source in from our current, like our major publishers, like Llewellyn, US Games. I just got an account with Red Feather. I'm working on Hay House right now. I'm working on a few others in addition. Wow. And then I also network with people who are either doing like purges, like mass purges of their collections. Yeah. And I will buy up 30, 15, 108, you know, however many decks of cards that they have for sale. Like just recently I had one woman who passed away. And so her nephew was handling her estate and she had about 300 some decks of cards. Ooh. That needed a home. So we made arrangements. I paid, you know, what we agreed to, and I got them in the store, and I spent about a good, you know, couple months getting them up, getting them out, getting them up, getting them out, because that's the cool thing with them. They do fly. So yeah. It's like the moment they fly super quickly. Recently thereafter, I found a woman in Pennsylvania who was transitioning from her life home to an assisted living location. And she had 700 plus astrology books. And these are all vintage astrology books, like 1960s, 1970s, 1980s astrology books. And I've been getting well-versed, not in astrology per se, but in the authors, the publishers, the little groups that were publishing during that time. So the store has kind of evolved into a half tarot, new and used, half astrology, vintage astrology book. Now with that, I have decided that I'm not going to focus super heavy on books. I do still want to stay on the cards. So I'm actually going to be changing the layout where it's more book bundles. So there's, you know, something on transits, like 5 books on transits or 5 books on charts or 5 books on eclipses, 5 books on a retrograde of some sort, just kind of making collections and doing it that way instead of just individual pamphlets, individual books.
Oh, so, God. Yeah. Okay. 700 books. That's a lot of listings. That's a lot of copy and all that.
Yeah, so, I have a great system for it. I also have storage and I have 2 bookshelves behind my little Soji screen here that hold a lot of, you want to look behind the curtain super fast.
Oh, sure. This will be something I get to see and nobody else does. Mwahaha.
is a visual, not a visual thing. So this is just a, wow. And so right now they're all sealed in plastic because of course my treehouse has all the incense and stuff in it. But yeah, it's like shelf upon shelf upon shelf upon shelf upon shelf.
Wow.
astrology books. And anybody who's interested in astrology, I would bet them that they would find something in here that would be to their liking. Like I'm almost certain of it. And wow. So regardless of how versed or how skilled someone is, if they're a beginner astrologer or even they've been in the game for a while, I think they could find something of value and of use in there.
Well, I know our recent meeting with Natasha Venter and Jessica Martin, you talked about these books and Jessica's eyes just, they got so big, like that ooga, ooga kind of look from the cartoon.
I know. I'd love to have her in there. I think she'd probably try to wipe me out. And that'd be fine. Like, go ahead, honey.
It's okay. Honey. So how did you get into Tarot? We know how you got into astrology and that was just kind of helping somebody else out. But how about Tarot? What does that draw for you? What's so that draw for you?
I have like two stories that go with that because my first deck of cards, which are right here on my altar. So this is the literal first deck of cards I ever received in my life. And this was the set that my mom gave me when I was like 13, 14. And the story that I tell with that is that I didn't know this then, but I had these little witchy like tendencies in me. And I was sitting in the middle of my bedroom and I had stolen every candle in my house. And I'd set them up in a circle around me. And I was just in this middle of what I know now is like a little bit of a ritual, right? Yeah. And so I was in state, I was doing whatever it was I was doing. And then my mother walks in. And of course, she is panicked because she just sees a fire hazard in my bedroom. I immediately get in trouble for having all this fire. And so I blow out the candles, I put them away and so forth. I get a stern talking to. And then like the next day or two, my mom comes to me with the yellow box, Rider Waite Smith, says, here, do this, and don't set the house on fire. So I was like, oh, that was our compromise. In my uber Christian life, I'm going to Catholic school at the time. I live in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, of all places. So it's just like, she was like, be quiet, here you go, and don't tell anybody I gave it to you. I'm like, okay, mom, that's fine. And so that's how I got my first deck of cards.
Did your mom read?
So my mom has an interesting skill set where she has some medium tendencies. She has some other, I guess, kind of channel-esque kind of skills, but she refuses to call herself psychic. She refuses to call herself intuitive. Wow. She's just, this is just me, is kind of my mother. And she comes from the age where to be called psychic was to be called charlatan, you know? Yeah. It was derogatory. It was a terrible thing. And she's like, oh, you cannot accept money for it. You cannot accept money for it. You cannot accept money for it. Which was funny for her because the first time I told her I was doing this professionally and I'd already been doing it for about a year before, I guess my mom actually asked me the question, like, wait, are you getting paid for this? Then she said like, well, so long as you're not accepting money for it, you're fine. And I'm like, well, I am getting paid. She's like, well, don't scam anyone. And I'm like, mother, you're supposed to be on my side.
Don't scam anyone.
Right? And it's just like, oh God, Ma. Okay, so one, I'm not going to do that. I have too many ethics. I'm not that person. And she's like, okay, well, you have my permission. You have my support. And I'm like, meanwhile, I'm in my 30s. I don't need my mother's permission or her support, but thank you. It's like, I love you. Thank you. I don't need it, but thank you. And she's like, okay, you know, you're fine now. And so we've come to an agreement that it's okay that I'm accepting. This is my full-time job. This is the life work that I'm doing. And my mother's now okay with it.
Okay.
But I got into the business itself because my job at the time was an industrial designer. And so that's what I went to school for. That was what my degree was. And I was leading the design team for a local startup company. But I was having a lot of issues with the speed in which the company was progressing. And so eventually the company dissolved. It wasn't keeping up and it just dissolved. So during the process of it's like it's death throes is what I would call it. I was like a whole year of death throes and I was losing my mind essentially is what it felt like because I was anxious. I was scared. I was neurotic. My livelihood was being threatened essentially. Yeah. And my ability to take care of my family was on stake. And this situation to me was dire. And so what ends up happening is every time I go to a store, I see a deck of cards. Every time I go to the thrift store, I see a deck of cards. Every time I go to blah, I see a deck of cards. So I'm like, I have enough common sense to know like, all right, I'm seeing a pattern. I'm noticing a thing. And so it was the first deck that I picked up at a thrift store, no less, was the Osho Zen tarot.
Yeah.
And I took it to my bedroom as soon as I got it home. And I looked it over and I immediately fell in love with the feeling that somebody heard my pain at the time, my difficulties, the thing that I was going through. It felt like someone heard me when I was doing the read and I was reading the answers in the book. I was reading the guidebook. It felt like somebody heard me. And so because it felt like somebody, I don't know who at the time, but because it felt like somebody heard me, I was immediately pulled in. I was sucked in. I'm like, oh, I am going to deep dive into this. I don't know how to do anything little. It's like go big or go homeless is kind of how it is for me.
Well, you said earlier you're an Aries and I am too. So I totally understand. Oh, yes. Exactly. Obsession. That's obsession. My middle name.
Yeah. It was overnight obsession. And I love that it kind of took on a speed of its own and a mind of its own. And I just had to ride the current. And I started getting into Facebook groups. I started doing free readings for people, anyone who would be willing to.
I took my deck to the office I was working at. Yeah. So I'd be hopping from cubicle to cubicle here. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I found myself like obsessing for like 4 to 6 hours a day on tarot. Oh, wow. Like I was in my room. I told my wife, I'm going to go to the bedroom and zen out now. And that was like around 8. And I wouldn't shut down until after midnight when we were trying to go to bed. And she's like, all right, you got to turn this off because I got to go to sleep. So it's like, I was obsessively learning. I was obsessively deep diving. And after I hit about 100 readings, and I think it was about a month and a half.
Wow.
That I was okay with the idea of now accepting gratuity or accepting payment for the work. And then that took on a mind of its own and a speed of its own. And then when my wife kind of, we were driving by a psychic boutique, like on the side of the road, she's like, oh, you could do that. And it was the permission that I felt like I needed to actually follow through and create a business out of it. So it was like with her little flippant offhand comment, which was perfect, exactly what I needed to hear. Cause you know, who needs their spouse's permission these days? Come on now. still me. Once I kind of got that like just offhand comment, it was like all hands on deck, we're going to do this. And so I created the website, I created the business. I started reselling at the same time. I started creating services. I started doing Facebook Lives. And it was just a whole evolution of figuring out how I'm going to fit in the market, how my skill sets are going to develop inside of it, and what's going to show up afterwards. Yeah, that's the long story.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, I know tarot and I like my oracle cards. Wait a minute. I had the question. You said you did deep dives. So I have seen practitioners who lay out a card and they will map the whole thing, the colors, the images, numerological correspondences and all, and the elements and all that. Is that how deeply you go? Is that your depth of knowledge?
Interesting because I find that there's two types of readers. There's very analytical readers and then there's very intuitive readers. I feel like I fall into a camp that is mostly intuitive with a touch of analytics in there. So no, I don't dive into the numerology. Like I just pulled up a nine of cups. Uh-huh. I understand kind of intuitively how the nine works. I'm also looking at the cups in regards to emotion. So I'm kind of looking at that. I see there's a whole ton of yellow in this card in this card in particular. So yeah. To me, that's like a bright, happy color. So I might talk about it, but the point I find with my clients when they come to visit me is that they're looking for an answer. And so I'm trying to answer the question. I'm trying to ingest all this information to answer the question. So if you're asking me like, what do I need to know most about my business this month? You're not going to be worried about necessarily that there's nine here. Like, okay, so I can tell you about you're almost into this whole completion of phase of kind of thing. You're actually looking for an answer, not necessarily just the numerological component or the Tudor rose in the background kind of thing. So,
As I was taking my cards around and giving readings to people, there was a woman I pulled the three of hearts for, and that the three of swords for, and that's got a heart with the three swords in it. And I gave her that rote kind of almost textbook thing. And then it struck me as being, it's like, wait a minute, that's not right. That's when the intuitive kicked in. And I realized that she was incredibly sensitive. And anytime we gave her hell of any kind, even though it was completely kidding, it really tore her up inside.
Yeah.
And that was the first time somebody broke out into tears. And yeah, pro tip, when you hit it and they start to cry, there's just a little bit of, yes, I nailed it. But
No, it's like, I mean, I don't want to say that I like it when they cry, but there's like, oh, yeah, I've done my job. Like, yeah. I've helped you do the abs, like you have the abscess. I was the lance. And now yeah. the pain that is being purged is yeah. those tears. And so it's like, yay, I've done my job.
I've done my job. I got it right. And it absolutely affected how I interacted with her later on. I wasn't that sort of, let me give you nine kinds of hell for any given reason. It shifted that relationship too. So I taught a tarot class once and I said, first I'll throw away the books. And you can see these seven women's shoulders just go, oh. And yeah. it's like, no, do it intuitively. So yeah, I'm an intuitive reader. It does help me when I learn, oh, look, I know what one, two, and three mean. Oh, yeah. Look, let's look at four, you know?
No, I find that the books have their purpose, but I do feel like they can become a crutch. So yeah. it's like, yeah, totally understand the right away system, the Thoth system, the Marseille system, whatever the system is that you're diving into, understand it, but then put it away. Because it's like, if a symbolism kind of stands out to you, if an object in the card makes its presence known kind of thing, then it helps to kind of know what the artist was originally game planning with that, because yeah. well, I feel like our spirit team only works with the information that we have. So it's like you studying that book for a moment kind of gives you a new set of tools, and it will pull up on those tools. Yeah, using it as a crutch, I feel like hinders the entire purpose of a read, or purpose of the solution aspect of a reading. Because I'm yeah. very solution driven. Like, that's me in a nutshell. You give a question, I want to purge an answer, like give an answer. That's what I want to do. And yeah. so I'm very, very focused on that. And I know that not all readers are that way, but that's just how this one is. And so with that, I tend to read very quickly. I tend to get to the point. I want to answer the question directly. I might bring up information that your team might be sharing with me, or my team is sharing with me. But ultimately, before we leave the table, I'm answering directly. Like, I even say, well, to answer your question directly, are you going to get pregnant next weekend? Feeling is no, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Because those are the kind of questions medical intuition I'm learning, but what else? Yeah. Okay. So has it helped you just being able to read tarot in general? Has that helped you? I know it helps your clients in their healing process, because you'll give them that information that they can act on, or in my case, not necessarily remember. But because you do. You went really deep. And I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't had coffee yet. But how has it helped you in your own healing process?
Oh my gosh. It is a lifestyle at this point, where like I have my treehouse here in the back that has all my cards, it has my table, it has my other space. This is the room in which I answer questions that come up for myself with my cards, or with whatever tool is kind of speaking to me at the moment. It is how I connect to whichever deity might be speaking to me most loudly at the moment. It's one of my tools in connecting to my ancestors. So it's like my grandmother who just passed away a couple of years ago. It's another way in which I can connect to her and my grandfather, and also how I didn't even know my grandfather liked a particular set of cards. So he's funny that he loves the Santa Muerte tarot, and it's just all skulls, all bones. He loves that one. And so often I will feel pulled to use that deck just to talk to him and be like a back and forth conversation where it's like, what do you want to tell me? And I'll pull three and I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? I'll pull another. And it's like, well, that's dumb. But another card, I get the answers. And so it's a back and forth conversation with the set of cards.
That's amazing. So I love that.
Right? It's so much fun. But for me, in regards to like my healing practice, it's like anytime there's an issue, because I feel like once you heal something else shows up, because that's life, right? Once you take care of one thing, you then realize, oh no, it's attached to nine different other versions or variations of it, or nine other areas. And for me, it was like tarot helped me overcome my dental phobia that I had recently. Really? Doing some past life work with tarot and a supporting oracle deck. I was able to do that and get a lot of work done because I was able to kind of overcome those fears. Oh gosh, it helped me realize the connection. You know, when, for instance, you have women who tend to always date people who are unattainable?
Yeah.
that also translates into their work, and they tend to work for people who are unsatisfiable. So it's just like, either you cannot get their attention, you cannot nail them down for anything, they're unreliable, they're unpredictable. And so it helped me realize that my behavior was systemic. It wasn't just in my romantic life, it was also my professional life. And I have these tendencies to pull on projects that cannot be completed, these lost causes, because there's something in me that feels like I can save them, or I can do this, or whatnot. So it kind of helped me make those connections and see where it's like, I put in the good fight. Now's a good time to back away slowly.
Okay.
It was really, really useful there. So I feel like for me, tarot has been instrumental in leveling up my practice, in connecting to spirit, to guides, to ancestors, to guardians, to shifting perceptions. Yeah, like it's just a tool, but it's my favorite tool in the world.
I'm so glad.
Yay.
So, okay. You've touched on some of the things that you've been able to do with tarot, like talk to your ancestors and past life stuff. What are some of the other things that tarot can help with?
Oh my gosh.
When I look at past lives, I apparently access the Akasha record, the Akashic records, but for me, they show up as a map.
Yeah.
And then I can do body scans and get medical scans that way, get a medical intuition. This statement has not been approved by the FDA, and I am not a doctor, nor have I ever played one on TV. So disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer.
Of course.
But what are some of the types of readings that you're able, that you have done, or that tarot facilitates?
Okay. Because there's definitely a partition between the work that I do as my like intuitive aspect of it. Because I feel like that's one pillar of work that I can complete. Now, when it comes to my cards, or cards in general, with myself or other people, one of the things that I know it can help anybody do is just establishing a practice, and a practice being something that you do regularly, kind of around the same general time for a particular purpose. And if that's groundedness, or it's refinding your center, it's re-understanding who you are when you're going through life changes, I find it really useful in those perpetually destabilizing moments. So like when COVID first broke out in our area, I know it wasn't just me, like a couple other readers and I were at the same point of like, we're sitting on the floor of our homes or my treehouse or wherever we're at. We're trying to feel grounded again. And we're asking our cards what we need to know. So instead of going super intuitive, we're going in that moment, very analytical, very, this is only what the cards are saying. I'm not listening to intuition right now because my intuition is wrapped in 8 layers of fear. So it's like, now I need to go to the structure. Now I need to go to the basics. And so one of the things that I've done is I've created and designed little tarot journals that help me in getting out of my emotions and getting into the practical, getting into this Three of Pentacles is only the Three of Pentacles. And what does only the Three of Pentacles mean? So sometimes I need to get out of the excess and into the black and white, it's like, instead of college level, I need to go back to fourth grade.
Okay.
Sometimes you need to go back to fourth grade. And
you
it's
need
just
to get that foundation written down again.
Yeah. And it's just, well, at least it helps for me anytime where I feel completely destabilized for some reason. It helps me refine my footing, helps me reground and reestablish a daily meditation or practice or a connection to self or to source or to God or to whoever it happens to be for you. But I've also used tarot to, on the more mundane aspects, to help me locate lost items. So I'll lose a book or something and I'll like, all right, tell me where this book is, and I'll get like the Chariot. And I'm like, okay, so Chariot, we're thinking movement. It is either in my car or underneath my chair.
And I never thought of that.
See? And so, I mean, it's helpful for me, and I will find them sometimes because of that. Like I did find a book that fell not on under my chair, but behind my chair. So that was exactly what I needed to know. So that was awesome.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I will use tarot in relation to like business planning. Like I'm doing a lot of project planning right now in relation to Jessica's event. And I also have some business ideas that I'm working through, but I will use the cards to kind of help me understand the overall energy of that idea, that project, that focus that will help me kind of know how I need to come and approach it. Because if you have like, for instance, I'm trying to grab a card to show you. If you have like lovers, yay, that's the energy of the event. You know that, oh, I just need to show up and be all smiley. That's amazing. That's all I need to know. However, if you get like a Two of Wands, you're like, okay, I need to have my plans spelled out. I need to have everything clear. Or if I get a Queen of Swords, for instance, to me, that's a lot like my mother. So I know I just need to sit back, let somebody else handle this. Like,
I'm good.
I'm going to sit back here and let everybody else take control of this. So even though tarot has like this super spiritual connotation attached to it, I love its mundane purposes. And that's why there's always decks out. There's always cards available. And I have cards of varying sizes. So it's like, if I'm in the car, I can pull a few cards and like put it on my little side console right there and do my little read for myself. Or if I'm doing a big spread for the month or something, I have like smaller cards that will fit in my tarot space for that. When I'm forecasting, for instance, or trying to see if there's any big roadblocks or things that I need to know about that are coming down the pipeline in my month, or if there's any hiccups, because I find that if, for instance, you do forecasting and you see a roadblock, instead of just having fear that on the 16th, some shit's going down, you can kind of pre-plan, what do I need to do to roll with that change? What can I do to, instead of like trying to dissolve it into oblivion, to move with it instead of trying to fight against it. So it's like, how can I dance with this obstruction instead of trying to combat it, for instance?
Or beat my head against it, yeah.
Or beat your head against it. I have used tarot regarding planting things before. I remember doing that. I was trying to figure out like which area of my land would best suit a particular shrub. And so I created like a 4-square grid and then pulled out 4 cards. And the most positive of the 4 cards was where I planted that shrub, and it's been doing beautifully there. So that was the perfect spot.
Wow. So it sounds like a whole lot of things that I use my pendulum for.
Yeah.
Because I'll have a pendulum to ask questions like, do I need to do this? And they'll go yes, no, or whatever. That's okay. Never thought to do that, but I don't have a big table space to do that. That's very cool. So forecasting, I had just written it down and you started talking about that. So your take on that is to pretty much give a person a heads up about what could potentially be in the way. My attitude is nothing's written in stone. So an outcome is definitely dependent on the divine alignment, the people involved. There are so many variables there. So I don't see that anything's written in stone, like a definite outcome. Is that?
Yes, that is my philosophy in regards to it. However, I also understand the benefit of having a map or having what looks like something semi-tangible to look at while you're kind of brainstorming or making decisions. So anytime I'm in a forecasting kind of situation, that is the first thing that I say, is that nothing is written in stone. Right. This is only a snapshot of right now. I will even use some like atrocious example of like, if you decide you're going to divorce your husband tomorrow and move to Spain, you know, obviously this isn't going to be the same anymore. Like, this forecast makes no sense anymore because you still have free will and choice. Yeah. And I fully tell, you know, customers and clients to like use that choice. If you don't like something that shows up today, then use your choice to work with it, around it, or away from it, or whatever works for them.
Which is not a reflection on the reader.
No.
You know, I've had one person say, well, that's not what she said. And it's like, well, this is what I'm seeing. And it's not a reflection on me. It's a reflection on what different energies are. So it doesn't make you a bad reader. It just makes you a reader that is telling you this is what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have the opportunity to change it. Turning left out of the door, turning right out of the door. I think that's what quantum mechanics.
Oh, I love that. I do love quantum mechanics. But I find that statement, the that's not what she said thing, to be such a loaded gun. Like, I so dislike it when people come to the table with that. It's like, somebody else said blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so that reader is doing their whole session, their whole thing, based on their lived experience of their whole judgment, their whole idea of right and wrong, what feels good, what feels bad, what feels encouraging, what doesn't. This is based on my lived experience and what I'm being pulled to share. So it's like, we can say the same thing totally different ways, and it might sound different, or it might actually be different now because you did that, you know, a month ago and now it's different. I actually just read for a woman a few days ago where she had told me that a reader friend, so that's like the added weight to it, is that it was a friend, told her that she'd be pregnant by now. And she was kind of wondering, like, do you think I'm pregnant, like, currently? Because she was expecting her cycle in the next couple of days. And I'm like, I don't think so, honey. Like, and she's like, oh, that's unfortunate. Because she doesn't want to disbelieve her friend. She wants to continue to believe her friend when she gives her intuition or gives her knowings.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's complicated and it's weird. And I just think it perpetuates issues around faith and believing anything. So I don't know. Wow. I hate it when that question comes up.
Oh yeah. That instance happened. She had just finished that reading and I just didn't see the relationship going. She said, but she said it would. It's like, this is what I'm seeing. I don't know. And yeah. It also contributes to the fact that I don't really like doing those. When am I going to find the one?
Oh,
you know, oh my gosh. I mean, that has sent me off into looking into the whole, into the soulmate and twin flames. I've got a podcast on that.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting to see how people think they're interchangeable and I don't think they are. And yeah. It's like, look, and so there are people I will tell right off the bat. I'm not going to tell you what corner to stand on what day, at what time, wearing a flower. And then the one will walk by because there are so many variables, including right. The partner.
Yeah. It's like, it's not just you, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like being a romance GPS.
Oh my gosh, that's such a loaded question. It's like, yeah. Like one of those conversations that you never have at the dinner table is like politics and religion. Uh-huh. I feel like as readers, one of the questions that I never like to get is when am I going to have the one or when am I going to get the one? Yeah. And I love trying to figure out how to not wiggle out of it per se, but it's like, let's dismantle this one, quote unquote, air quotes, silently.
And yet another instance when my guest and I could talk for hours. And honestly, we talked for an hour and a half. This is where I'm arbitrarily, sort of. I am ending this at 33 minutes so I can upload the rest of it next week. Next week's meditation will be me pulling cards and getting inspiration from there. And in 2 weeks, we'll use the cards that Abby pulled during our interview. This has been Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. Until next time, blessings.